sweeteners have been a source of controversy for some time, and when it comes to the idea that aspartame is calorie-free and therefore a healthier alternative, it's typically not the case. But today, we're going to be talking about the ugly truth of sweeteners and something that's more delicious, healthier for the environment, and that actually upcycles ugly fruit. Hey everybody, I'm your host Emily Steckenborn, and this is the podcast that dives into the delicious and fascinating world of food and beverage. We cover innovation, market trends, and culture with thought leaders from around the world. Based in Los Angeles, Devash Organics is the leading purveyor of fruit-based nectars and syrups in the U.S. retail market. All of their products are vegan, paleo-friendly, non-GMO, and have no added sugar. Today, we're joined with Brian Finkel and David Sin, co-founders of Devash Organics, to discuss the ugly and beautiful truth of sweeteners. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bottled in China. Today, I'm really excited to have Brian and David, and welcome to the episode.
Thanks so much for having us.
So you guys at Devash Organics actually say that you guys are a healthy and delicious alternative to sugar, honey, and agave. And, you know, when I hear that, the first thing I think of is aspartame. You know, that's kind of what people were saying, that it's calorie free and therefore healthy for us. But there seems to be a really ugly truth about these sugar replacements. Can you tell us and share with us a bit about this for sugar replacements?
So, you know, I think most sweeteners really fall into two categories. You've got, you know, the sugary sweeteners that have traditional sugar content, and then you have the artificial variety, like the aspartames of the world. I think most of your listeners are probably familiar with how a lot of those artificial sweeteners that are made in the lab, some of them have been proven to be carcinogenic in studies, don't have a lot of benefits in terms of health benefits. And the jury's still out on a lot of those artificial sweeteners in terms of what, scientifically, what's kind of lurking behind the zero calorie claim. It's not, these are not natural, and time may tell what some of the side effects are of these artificial sweeteners. And some of them have already sort of been unmasked and have even been discontinued because they've been proven to be dangerous to, you know, for humans to consume. Right. And then on the more natural side, you have the cane sugars, the agaves, honey, and each one has its pros and cons. And some of them have a lot more cons than pros, like, for example, white cane sugar. A lot of these are, you know, high glycemic, spike your blood sugar, very high in sugar content and calories. So, you know, they may not have some of the artificial side effects that these artificial lab-made sweeteners have, but they have all kinds of other baggage that they bring along with them in terms of problematic health characteristics. If you're loading up on white cane sugar every day, you're probably going to put on extra weight. You're probably going to be, blood sugar is going to spike. You're going to be in danger of getting diabetes and all kinds of other health issues that come along with high sugar consumption. Now, some of the other sweeteners that are in that natural category are less problematic than white cane sugar, but still bring along with them a lot of that same problems in terms of high sugar content, high calorie content. You know, you've got high fructose corn syrup. Fructose is, you know, can be very problematic in terms of people who are watching their sugar intake and watching their blood sugar. And some people aren't aware that agave is very high in fructose. It's right up there with high fructose corn syrup, making it very problematic for anybody who's really conscious of their watching their blood sugar and watching their diet generally.
That's actually quite interesting, because I never thought agave was actually unhealthy. I think the way that they propose it and position it in the market is a really healthy, natural alternative. And in fact, you guys actually make something that's even better, which is vegan. And you also look into non-GMO and organic. So when it comes to nectars and syrups, you guys actually make that even in an, you know, with ugly produce. But can you tell us a little bit how you guys offer something that's healthier than what's on the market? And like you said, for people who are looking for their weight or health benefits, how that helps them choose what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the best benefits of Devash, hands down, especially with the date syrup and the date nectar, is that it has 25% less sugar than honey. And so honey today is so ubiquitous in the US, and you know, with dates being this new superfruit, you know, since it's so sweet and so delicious and it's fairly easy to grow, it's an incredible alternative to, you know, all the other sweeteners, like especially, you know, maple syrup and agave, as Brian just mentioned. But really, I would say, you know, honey is something that's used so frequently, and the fact that it really has a 25% less sugar, it makes you feel a lot better than, you know, if you were to, like, we're all wired to enjoy sweets. That's the truth of the matter. You know, since we were all young, we've always loved sweets. It's just the way it is. And to give it up fully is just impossible. And so here, at least if you, you know, eat it within moderation, but if you reduce it with something that's natural, which really is nature's candy, essentially, we found that it's become a great alternative, and you can use it or swap it out in virtually anything. And if you can reduce your sugar by 25%, it's really phenomenal.
Actually, it's funny you say maple syrup, because I actually am from Canada. So I feel like I've grown up on maple syrup, and it's so sad to hear that it's actually not as healthy as we perceive it to be as well. So that actually kind of makes me think, because a lot of the recipes that are out there, I always think of a lot of my friends who are super healthy. They always reduce the amount of sugar that's typically in a recipe, especially when they're baking. And do you, even with your, you know, with Devash, do you feel like you guys have to reduce the sugar, or do you feel that actually because it's already reduced, you don't actually have to change the recipe that's recommended? Like, how does that work if somebody's trying to substitute it with their current baking or cooking?
That's a great question, Emily. And fortunately, we found that you don't have to. It's a one-to-one ratio. I mean, sometimes it could even be a little bit less, but yeah, you don't need to add any more of it. So that's really the true benefit of Devash, of the nectar. You can swap it out one for one. The product will be, or the recipe will be, just as sweet. So, I mean, there's a lot of great recipes out there, but, you know, even if you're just baking a cake or using it on a marinade as a salmon, I mean, you know, one of the biggest things that really pushed us to create this was when you look at all those marinades and dressings, the second ingredient is either sugar or high fructose corn syrup. And so the fact that you can take something from nature that's so pure and so clean, and, you know, along with having the antioxidants and the potassium, it's really a win-win. And so it's really the perfect alternative. And, you know, most importantly, it tastes amazing. And so it's pretty unbelievable, but it's pretty wild that there's a fruit out there that exists that has so many benefits, but tastes just like candy at the same time.
And actually, just for myself, as I'm speaking with you, I want to kind of wrap my head around that. If I taste it, you know, a lot of our listeners are just hearing this, so they don't have the chance to taste it as we speak. But does it actually taste just like sugar, or does it have more of that kind of fruit profile to it, a little bit maple syrupy? Like, how would you describe the taste, and does it impact when you cook or not at all?
So that, I think, is one of the best things about the product, is that it really, it's similar to sugar to that extent. It doesn't have an overly date flavor profile. So there are a lot of people out there that may say, oh, I don't like dates, I don't want to try this. But we've even early on, in the early stages, we said, when we were at farmers markets and we'd have people try the product, we would just say, hey, taste this. What does it taste like? And people would say, oh, it just tastes sweet. So it's great, because that's the one thing, you know, if you use maple syrup, you know, maple syrup's in the product. If you use honey, you know, honey's in the product. And so I think one of the benefits that we really have is that the fact that it goes great in anything, that's what makes it really unique. And that's also what makes it so versatile, and that allows it to be used in so many different recipes.
Yeah, that's actually always something that bothers me, because I can really taste the flavors. And I feel like with sugar, when you substitute something like that, especially with lower calories or healthier options, which, you know, as we mentioned, are typically not as healthy as perceived to be, it's just the recipe doesn't come out right. And I think foodies will definitely want something healthy, but also that can maintain that ingredient, right? The profile of whatever you're baking or cooking. But I want to talk about something that actually, for a lot of listeners that probably don't know this, is a little bit more about Ugly Produce. So you guys make your nectars and syrups from that, really, by upcycling and, you know, hopefully not putting in so much waste and recycling, or upcycling, that is, of something that would go to waste. So can you tell us a bit about that process, which is so incredibly important in today's world?
Sure. Yeah. The date farms that we work with nowadays, you know, when they try to sell their dates to supermarkets, to retailers across the US, across the world, the supermarkets and the consumers that are shopping at these supermarkets are really only interested in the sort of top grade produce that's basically flawless. You know, it can come in more in the US than on other markets beyond, but people who are shopping in your typical US retailer, even whether it's regular grocery store or a premium retailer, let's say like Whole Foods, you know, they're really looking for, if they're looking for dates, for example, they don't want dates that have blemishes or scratches or dents in them or skin that's overly wrinkly. They're looking for things that for dates that are really premium looking and that have that unblemished look and feel. And what we've discovered in working with several different farms across the world, date farms, is that a very high percentage of the date crop, and I think this probably applies to many other fruits as well, the dates, you know, most of the dates that they grow are perfectly healthy to consume and are perfectly delicious and perfectly safe to consume. But many of them have natural blemishes. And just like when you see with bananas, for example, that have, you know, some browning on them, some black spots. And, you know, consumers kind of sometimes get a little freaked out by that stuff, even if it's perfectly natural and safe. And dates are no different. The problem is that they can't sell those dates to retail markets in the U.S. So what you have is a very high percentage of these date crops, and these date farmers don't know what to do with these blemished dates. Because they're thinking to themselves, these dates are perfectly healthy, they're perfectly delicious, but no one wants to buy them. So what we've done is, in order to cut costs for us, but also cut costs for our customers and reduce food waste, it's really a win-win for everybody. We effectively take what would otherwise be waste product and we upcycle it. We work with these date farmers that the dates get melted down into syrup, and therefore dates that would have otherwise been tossed now are repurposed. And once you melt it down into syrup, the superficial blemishes on the dates are irrelevant. You know, once they're melted down, you don't see anything. You certainly don't taste anything different. So it's a win for the farms that we work with. It's a win for us. And it's certainly a win for the stores and the consumers that we work with.
And that's always crazy to think how much food is wasted every single year because it doesn't fit the perfect apple or it doesn't fit the perfect banana, as you were mentioning. So much waste, right? And you're right. Once you cook it down, I mean, no one can tell if there were any blemishes. And it's really sad to see that we've come so accustomed to buying things for their beauty and not actually even for their taste anymore, right? Because we actually look at how it looks first before we even smell or taste it. Another thing that actually got me a little bit surprised or at least intrigued, when it comes to kind of environmental impact, I never think much about where my sugar comes from or my sweeteners come from and if they have any impact on the environment. But you guys raised a point on that, and I thought that was interesting. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that and how you guys are actually really minimizing some of the negative environmental impacts?
Absolutely. So as Brian just mentioned, the fact that all of our dates are sustainably sourced, and with hunger and food waste being such a big issue in today's world, you know, it's one of those things where, since thankfully date palms produce a tremendous amount of fruit, you know, the fruit is already going to be there. And so there's always going to be an abundance of fruit available that can be used to produce the syrup. And, you know, I think one of the biggest issues affecting the sweetener industry today as a whole is, you know, you have the issue with a lot of the honeybees dying. It's a huge problem with a lot of the pesticides that are being used today, and it's becoming incredibly problematic. You know, the price of honey is skyrocketing year over year. And then the same thing, you have an issue with the maple trees. You know, you have a lot of maple trees. If you put in more taps, if you put in one too many taps in a tree, you have the potential of killing the tree. And so I think a lot of people do know what they're doing, but at the same time, if you can mitigate that and minimize those risks, you know, especially here when there's so much fruit that's produced, and if you can reduce the food waste and use the ugly produce, it really is the best option. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, date syrup is such a new sweetener here in the US, but when you look at places in the Middle East or Africa or even India, it's been used forever. And I think it's one of those things where it's really just a matter of time until it truly catches on. I mean, even year over year, or since we've launched the company, it's been really incredible to just see how the market has taken to the product. And I think a large reason is because of the sustainability factor. It really checks all the boxes with having less sugar than the alternatives, the fact that we're using the ugly produce to reduce the food waste, and the fact that it tastes really, really good and that it's affordable. I think it really is it's an incredible sweetener alternative to what already exists.
Actually, David, you said two things that really got me interested, and I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about that. You're so right. You know, I never think of dates as kind of where I could get my sweetness from. But if you look back at Lebanese cuisine or different types of cuisines, they use that in dessert all the time. And I think the problem, and I think actually, Brian, you've mentioned that as well, is people back in North America, typically we just eat dates, you know, dried form. And you can only eat a few and then you kind of feel stuffed because they're also high in fiber from what I remember. And so we kind of had this negative impact with dates where we don't quite understand how to leverage them in our cooking. So that's actually really interesting that you've raised that. And talking about bees and sustainability, I mean, One Master Somm did a big, you know, presentation on that, how mead and, you know, kind of like a honey wine that is really great for the environment because we need more bees. And you're right, we're doing a lot of things wrong where we need to find a balance on how to make things right. So just wanted to touch on that because that was really kind of important notes and quite inspirational.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, we really see it in terms of the environmental impact. I mean, as David noted, you have the colony collapse that's happening globally with bees, and that's causing the honey prices to skyrocket. And it really means that bee honey as a product and as an industry is kind of teetering on the edge. We take for granted that we have honey, and we go to supermarkets and there's a whole aisle of bee honey, but you know, that may not be the case going forward. And there's a couple added things as it relates to the bees. First of all, a very high percentage, at least in the U.S., of the bee honey that American consumers use is made by these industrial hives where the bees are basically harvested to, you know, to produce the maximum amount of honey, an unnaturally high amount of honey over the lifetime of the bee, which causes all kinds of problems and leads to more injuries and death among bees. This is the main reason that many vegans won't consume honey, because it's really, from a humanitarian perspective, it's really not good for the bees. It's very unnatural and artificial the way the bees are farmed that way. So we do see using the dates as sort of taking the strain off the bees and reducing humankind's dependence on this industry, on the bees who are really suffering right now as it is, even without the human intervention. It's just, you know, we really want to get people off the honey and reduce human dependence on bees in a direct way. And another way that we do that is that date palms actually require very minimal bee pollination. You know, a lot of fruits and flowers and plants are very heavily reliant on bees for pollination. And the date palm is really, you know, there are other ways that date farmers pollinate the date palms that are not reliant on bees for pollination. So that really makes the date palm and the date growing industry, it really, by switching people over to dates and date syrup, you're really taking a lot of strain off the bees, and it's really much more sustainable because you're not tying the future of this sweetener and this crop to the bees, who are really in a bad spot right now.
I actually was gasped as you said that, because I didn't realize the pressure we were putting on that part of our ecosystem. Really interesting that you've highlighted that. And I think there's been quite a lot of people, especially a few years ago, I remember, that came up and were really trying to advocate for more bees in cities. And I think New York, they also had a program where you could have, you know, you can actually have some, try to find a, I'm actually not exactly sure, but there was definitely some programs in place. But I feel like this year or the last few years, it's been quite silent, at least from my perspective. And it's interesting how you're bringing that up, because it's something that we can't ignore, right? Although it seems like it sometimes fades in the news, but definitely something that we should be aware of. That's actually really fascinating. Well, I could definitely dive into that a bit more though.
Sure, yeah.
But I want to talk about food and also a little bit more about how we can use Devash, and a little bit more about, you know, any recommendations? Because a lot of our listeners are obviously foodies and they want to know, you know, what's your favorite wine pairing, or maybe even what's a marinade or a dressing that you would actually suggest to use with wine?
Absolutely. So it goes, I mean, honestly, that's one of the best things about Dabash is that it really goes great on anything. But I mean, there's an incredible, you know, Chardonnay that's actually from Stag's Leap, and it goes really great if on some salmon. And I think that that pairs really nicely with wine. It's not too sweet. Like a lot of the teriyaki sauces out there, they're overly sweet. They're artificial tasting. And this, it's so clean and it pairs so nicely with the fish that I think with a nice Chardonnay, it tastes incredible. And same thing, it goes great as a marinade, you know, on seitan, tofu, steak. You know, it's one of those things, if you lightly, you know, drizzle it on a ribeye or on sirloin and you pan sear it, you know, it'll go great with a cab. You know, I can't recommend it enough. And it's also really amazing on, you know, one of my favorites is just simple, but I'll buy these carrots, you know, multicolored carrots when I have guests over. When it's just me and my fiance, it'll just be the orange ones. But when, when we're having people over, we take it up a notch. But when we do the multicolored carrots, it's really unreal. You just drizzle some of the Dabash on it and, you know, you add a little bit of cinnamon and a little bit of salt and pepper and it tastes unbelievable. And, you know, same thing. I mean, you know, another thing that we do pretty much on a regular basis is we make a date shake, which is really nothing but bananas, almond milk, and, you know, some people like to put coffee in there and, you know, a little bit of the date syrup, date nectar. It's incredible. And, you know, that's the thing. It's not too sweet and it really brings out a lot of the flavors, but with the hint of sweetness, it's really amazing what it can do. It tastes unbelievable.
Oh my God, that actually sounds amazing. And actually, the fact that you mentioned smoothies is probably my go-to. So I'm definitely going to highlight that. And you're right, teriyaki usually is way too sweet for me. I find that people overdo it and they don't play enough with the umami flavors. So I think that's a nice way to tone it down, but also to have it still tasting like teriyaki, right? Actually, you know, that's actually, I feel like now I'm a little bit salivating, but definitely means that I know what to do for dinner this weekend. And of course, my final question to Brian and David, of course, how can we actually find out more about Dabash, and also where can we find it? Because I think that's something that people are asking themselves after listening to the podcast and realizing that, you know, we can actually substitute our sugars for something even better and more natural.
Sure. In terms of online, we're all of our products are sold on Amazon right now, as well as on our website, dabashorganics.com. And we're also carried currently in over 5,000 retailers across the U.S. We're carried in certain Whole Foods. We're carried in Sprouts and all Sprouts locations. We're doing a launch shortly with Costco. So we'll have more details on that soon when that rolls out. We're in, for people in the Midwest, we're in all Meijer locations as well. And the list goes on and on. We're in a lot of small independent stores, mom and pops, mid-sized chains. David, did I miss anyone that bears mentioning?
No, I think you hit them all. Yeah, I mean, people can obviously, you know, come to our website, www.dabashorganics.com, and, you know, absolutely, you know, find us on Amazon and Thrive Market. And people can reach out to us anytime if they have any questions. You know, my email is david@dabashorganics.com. Brian is brian@dabashorganics.com. You know, we love hearing from people. You know, that's one of the reasons we started this. It's really been an incredible adventure, and we love sharing our story and meeting as many incredible people as possible.
Yeah, well, we should also mention that we have a very active social media presence, both on Facebook and on Instagram. If you're looking for recipe inspo, we've got that in spades. So very active and engaged following, and we're posting stuff, and our fans are posting stuff all the time. And our handle is at Dabash Organics, and we've got videos and pictures and recipes coming out daily. Really good stuff if you're looking for ideas on how to use Dabash, and things ranging from breakfast foods, pancakes, marinades, salad dressings, drinks, shakes. You could get stuck there for hours. So take that as a warning. But
yeah.
Lots of good stuff.
That's awesome. Well, listen, I'm going to put all the information in the show notes. So anybody who wants to get more information, just scroll into the show notes and you'll be able to find out all the yummy details as well as where you can grab some of the Devash yourself. So thanks so much, Brian and David. This is such an awesome podcast and I think opened my eyes not only to what we've been eating wrong, but what we can eat right. So thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Emily. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having us on.
Of course. Cheers. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you love this podcast, make sure to share it with a friend or click 5 stars on iTunes to show your support.